glad to have you with us, campers. It's 6 o'clock again, time for Bathrobes Pierre's Broadside, Civil Rights for the Poor, here on Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3. I'm your host for the next 2 hours, Robert Norse, and with me in the studio shortly, I've gotten confirming phone calls, will be two council members and one angry member of the public, council members Crone and Rotkin, and the public's representative, Becky Johnson. You, of course, will be at the other end of the phone lines at 427-3772. That's our call-in line here at Free Radio. The subject, well, we're going to begin with shoulder tap. December 14th will be a second reading of an ordinance which makes it illegal for people to ask for a beer if you're a minor from an adult. Unfortunately, it sounds like our theme song has gotten a little slower over the years. Got to work on that tape. So, bear with us. We're going to begin by reading a letter from Robert Tarrant, attorney at law, critic of the proposed shoulder tap law, to Catherine Byers and other council members. Dear Mayor Byers, writes Robert Tarrant, who's an ACLU-type person, I'm writing on behalf of the Santa Cruz County chapter of the ACLU in opposition to the proposed shoulder tap ordinance dealing with minor solicitation for alcoholic beverage purchases. If, in fact, there is a problem with young people purchasing alcoholic beverages, further criminalization of their acts will not help solve the problem. Youthful drinking should be addressed as a public health matter, not a criminal matter. The Santa Cruz ACLU believes that these matters are better addressed outside the criminal arena. In arresting an underage individual and putting him in the criminal justice system, the City Council starts an adversarial process that begins with advocates on both sides trying to prove or disprove a minor's acts. This is not going to help the problem. An attorney will do all he or she can do to fight against their client being stigmatized as a criminal. The adversarial nature of a juvenile court case will not solve the problem. If the City Council is truly concerned about minors and the use of alcohol, they should put their money into programs that concern alcohol misuse and abuse. The City Council should stop the trend of further criminalizing minors' actions and instead look at alternative approaches such as counseling, education, and social worker involvement to solve a problem rather than to add criminal sanctions to a youthful offender's acts. The ACLU of Santa Cruz believes this ordinance will do nothing to stop further minors' purchases of alcoholic beverages, and we believe the ordinance should be voted down. And there's a series of other letters from local civil liberties attorneys, such as Ben Rice and Margaret Marr. And Becky Johnson did a show on this issue last night on Channel 71, which actually hasn't been aired yet. It was taped last night. Interviews with several youths on their view on the shoulder tap issue. And again, the shoulder tap law, you should understand exactly what it does. And I'm going to have to make sure that I have dredged up my copy of the law. I was sure I had one with me when I went to the studio. I've got to make sure it's in my bag here. It's a very brief law. It simply says, and it doesn't really clarify what the criminal penalties are going to be or how it's going to go, but it says that the act of asking an adult off-site an alcoholic an off-site selling area, so that is say not inside a bar but in some other area, will be criminal behavior. Just the act of a minor asking someone is itself a criminal behavior. One of the chief criminals is entering now, City Council Member Christopher Crone, back from Seattle. He was up there. I think he dodged the pepper spray and the rubber bullets, but can he dodge our spray and our live ammunition? We'll see. He's making himself comfortable in the studio. With him is his interlocutor, as we like to say here, Becky Johnson, who's going to be querying Chris on a number of issues. Let's give Chris a mic and make sure that this mic is attached. Let's see. Say something into the mic, Chris.
Hey, Robert.
A little louder.
Robert.
That's
testing.
Better.
Robert, Robert.
There you go. There you go. So welcome back. I see you have your Grand Bay Kite Company hat on there. Glad to have you with us. You look like you've been traveling. Maybe you even changed your clothes. That looks possible. Welcome back, Chris. You've seen a lot of police misconduct, I imagine, in the last couple of days. Is that fair to say? Or perhaps not?
Well, that's a long story, but...
What's the short version?
Well, I wouldn't mind talking a few minutes with you about this, since I am sort of fresh off the track from the WTO ministerials, as they call it up there.
Right. Let me say this. We actually have been getting phone calls from WTO protesters all day here at Free Radio, including people who have been pepper sprayed and jailed. I believe Jim Costner called in. Peter Lumsdaine may have called it. Tom Shaver, of course, nose broken, eyes beaten. But I mean, I'm more concerned, and I want to continue to focus on our local Santa Cruz situation, since we are going to be really covering the WTO in greater detail on other shows. But my concern is, has what you've seen up in Seattle had any impact on how you regard the situation here in Santa Cruz regarding the police? I know in a recent interview with John Malkin, commenting on the May 22nd protest, you expressed admiration and satisfaction with police behavior on May 22nd. Based on what you, I guess, saw from the inside of the McPherson Center. This was on a show on Free Radio about 3 weeks ago. And, of course, the police in that incident did not actually physically beat up people, although, of course, Steve Argue was reportedly beaten about the body and pepper sprayed in the mouth. But do you think your perspective has changed at all about the Santa Cruz police and what you think needs to be done here based on what you've seen in Seattle?
Robert, it's very interesting to me that even on your own radio show, you're very similar at city council. I guess there's no differences. You know, you're at the city council. You're the same. It's the same thing. So, I would love to talk about the WTO, but I'd like to begin at the beginning rather than just responding to different things, because I feel like I do actually have some perspective and off the cuff sort of.
Right.
You're on the air with me and Chris Crown and even Becky Johnson.
Hi. You know, I think that's a really valid question, actually, and I wish Chris would take the moment that it would take to answer that, please. That's my request. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I was up the WTO as an official representative of the Santa Cruz City Council. We passed a resolution about 5 weeks ago. And just read a couple lines from it, and what the city council, and it was a unanimous resolution. It was passed 7-0, which some people might be listening know that we don't have a whole lot of unanimity.
Chris, I got to tell you, my interest in the WTO is limited. I'm interested in
what is needed today are global rules to protect workers, communities, and the environment, is what the resolution says. Enunciate clear responsibilities for investors, create democratic accountability over capital. We call for a WTO based on these principles and upon our government on behalf of the American people in order to carry this banner in Seattle.
Chris, hang on a second. It's not that I don't want you to talk about these issues in some forum.
Further expansion of the powers of WTO to overrule the sovereign policies of nations, states, and local governments.
Chris.
Be resolved, the city of Santa Cruz become a signatory of a statement of members of international
this
civil
society. This is what
society,
he does at city council,
opposing
folks.
Opposing a millennium round or a new round of comprehensive trade negotiations.
Right, you know, Chris.
So this is what the council passed.
Right, I'm not
ago.
Interested in what the council passed, Chris.
And
I'm interested in the question I put
Seattle,
to you.
Sort of bringing that voice from Santa Cruz.
Okay, I understand
in
that.
In official capacity.
Fine.
Up at the.
Did you see any instances of? Again, the question I had for you, Chris, was: did you see any instances of police misconduct that had any effect on you and your perspective here on the police in Santa Cruz? And please direct yourself to that question. Thanks. Go ahead.
I think also what this resolution covered was pretty much what folks were covering in Santa Cruz, at the Seattle protest. You know, there was environmental.
You're not dealing with the issue I'm trying to get you to deal with, Chris. Is this going to be your intention throughout this session? I thought we had a specific. Unless you're responsive to the questions, I mean, we have a problem here. I asked you a particular question.
I'm fairly excited about being back from the
and they're going to be
and I'm not excited and necessarily a joyful.
I'm glad you're excited. I'm glad you're concerned about issues up there. But I mean,
I'd love to talk about these issues.
Hey, you know the next talk show host would love to talk to you about those. I am here for a particular purpose with people who are going to be suffering regardless of what happens with the WTO in Santa Cruz in the next month because of city council action or inaction. I want to talk to you about that. And I want to talk to you about an issue that's coming up at City Council, the shoulder tap law, which you're going to be discussing with Mike Rotkin, hopefully, as well. Now,
I think the biggest thing I saw in Seattle was the...
Right, so you're going to ignore what I'm saying and proceed to talk about Seattle.
The presence of youth and the age group of 15 to 25.
Boy, I hate to be
a
censor.
I really have
a
good feeling of, from that experience that... Young people, a lot of people think that folks are either apathetic or they're into.
Well, young people are going to be affected by the shoulder tap.
They were brought out to these for these up in, you know, these WTO, World Trade Organization?
Chris, we have limited time here. I don't want you to hijack the mic. I want you to respond to the questions if you can. It's not a forum for you to talk about the WTO per se. We arranged this whole session when you hadn't been going to the WTO. There are a lot of people who are going to be talking to you about the WTO, and they're going to be talking to you on air about it because people are very interested in the WTO. But I'm interested in something else, and I would like you to, if you can, address yourself to those issues.
I was invited on the show to talk about shoulder tap.
That's correct.
And I'd be happy to talk about that. I thought it would be of interest to you, I think it is, anyway, from our past conversations, to talk about World Trade Organization. We were going to talk for half an hour before Mike got here to talk about...
Right, we weren't going to talk about WTO. The other issues I'd like us to talk about are local ones, and the reason I think that it's important for me to do that is you are going to have plenty of radio time to talk about WTO and lots of forums. You've already had space in the Santa Cruz Sentinel, and properly so. I am concerned about the issues that you're not going to be talking about because no one's going to be interested
in
asking you questions about
it. I haven't seen it.
Go read it, and we'll talk about that when you read the Sentinel, because what I want to talk to you about are issues. I guess Becky had a couple of questions for you here. Again, I'd like to see you. You saw the Seattle Police in action, did you not?
I saw there was a large different contingents. You know, you really have to start with... There was the Seattle Police Department. There was the National Guard. There was the Sheriff's, King County Sheriff's Department.
Don't go away. Did you see any police agencies acting in a fashion you considered inappropriate?
I think we all saw it on the news. I mean, the pictures I saw, every newspaper in the country, yeah, people were shooting canisters of tear gas in the face of protesters.
You're aware
sitting
that,
on...
Right, and using pepper spray directly on protesters. You're aware...
That's correct.
You're aware that Santa Cruz police have the option to use pepper spray and have used it on numerous occasions?
I'm not a big advocate of pepper spray.
Are you an advocate of, should we say, limiting the use of pepper spray on the police force? I know a lot of us hope you are.
Yeah.
Excellent. Here's a caller. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, this is the Vinny... this is the V-Man again. And no, of course... Chris Krohn wouldn't have an answer to either one of those questions because, A, in Seattle, he was holed up in his nice, comfy little hotel room or wherever he was. So he wasn't actually down in the streets with the people. I don't mean to insult you, Chris, but you're totally ducking the issues. You're being asked pointed questions, and you're totally avoiding them.
You call the council office quite often, but you... I wish that you could leave a phone number because I'd like to talk to you, get back to you.
You know how to find me.
Sort of leave these long...
If you really want to.
It's true. Vinny is, of course...
And the second point is that, of course, he wouldn't have any idea about the Santa Cruz police either because he turned a blind eye to it when it was going down in his own city. And this is the last time I'm going to call.
Your response, Chris.
Again, the caller has called City Hall, and I don't really get...
Well, the question he asked...
What was the question?
The question was...
I didn't get the question.
Did he claimed you one, you said you were holed up in your hotel room and so were not involved in protests on the streets. I have no idea whether you were or weren't.
I don't understand why...
In Seattle.
Why would he say that? Because I don't know...
Well, he's asking the question. Were you or weren't you is the question he was asking. That was one of the questions. I mean, it's okay to be in your hotel room. We just wondered if you were.
Well, I didn't stay in a hotel, so I didn't really got that information.
Were you on the streets? Were you protesting? Were you out there on the streets?
I was in official capacity.
I understand.
On that respect, from the city of Santa Cruz, presented my resolution to many people up there who were very happy the city passed this.
You didn't get pepper spray.
Was I out in the streets?
Right.
Pepper spray, no. Tear gas, yeah.
Ah, you were tear gas.
There was many ways, you know... It's really difficult to respond to the caller because I'm not sure what the agenda is or where he's coming from. It's, you know, if you make accusations, I don't understand.
You're a council member. You're used to accusations.
He knows me, but he's sort of attacking me, and I'm saying,
he's concerned you weren't addressing the questions about local police
power. I'd love to talk to him.
Well, hey, maybe he can come into the studio and talk to you directly. That might happen.
If you want to talk to... The 100 or so Santa Cruz folks, if any of them saw me
actually,
up there and where I was.
We can't deal with 100. We can only deal with one right
that
now.
Was,
we have,
that
a,
that
we have a caller.
Hi there, caller. You're on the air with Christopher Krohn and Robert Norris.
Yeah, who knows when these guys are going to get the balls to deal with the police. But at least the promise they made a year ago to do something about the sleeping ban. When are you going to repeal the sleeping ban?
There's a question for you. Chris, any thoughts on that one?
Well, you were around, David, when the sleeping ban came up the first time in this last past year, and the many meetings that took place. And I personally didn't necessarily go along or feel good. I won't say go along. I feel good about the way it turned out. But I also think that you have seven council members. I do think that we put it on the agenda. It was an agenda item that wouldn't have been there hadn't there been an election. And the repeal of the sleeping ban, I think, depends on where the homeless task force is going to go to and what recommendations get made to the council.
Actually,
I want to see people have a place to sleep. You know that you and I agree,
Chris,
on a lot.
Chris, hang on a second.
As far as a safe place to sleep. So we both agree, and I just want to answer the question, Robert.
Sure.
So we both agree on those, and I think a lot of other people do. I think also is educating a lot of other parts of Santa Cruz who we would like to bring on board. And I think that if you're looking for the city council necessarily to do what you just said, that might not be the place.
No, I think he's asking you if you are going to take action this winter to change the sleeping sections of the camping ordinance, when already your homeless issues task force over 2 months ago has called for the repeal of the entire camping ordinance. And I don't see, it seems disingenuous, Chris, for you to say you're waiting for the recommendations of the homeless issues. You know what the recommendation is. It was presented to City Council 2 weeks ago. Actually, it was more like 4 weeks ago. And it was passed the month previous to that. So what is this kind of talk? I mean, I can understand you're saying, well, I favor ending the sleeping ordinance, but I'm a minority on the council. That's a legitimate position. Are you saying you do or you don't favor it?
I think we spent a lot of time, Robert, talking about this issue. I think there's a lot of genuine concern on the part of council
members. What's your position, Chris? What's your position on this, please?
Well, my priority list is getting more beds for people to sleep, and I think that we definitely.
What about the 500 to 1500 people outside? Should they be criminalized each night? Can you give me an answer?
We also need more shelter for women and
should people
moms.
Be criminalized at night tonight while they're sleeping? Yes or no, please, or maybe. Give me an answer to that.
Should people be criminalized?
Right, $54 fine. That's what your council, that's what you voted for in March of 1999, this spring. Should that fine retain it? Should be retained, or should that be eliminated? Should people be able to sleep at night without being arrested?
Well, Robert, if I could go back to those transcripts, and I wouldn't mind, you know, if you wanted to.
Can you give me a yes or no answer on that one, Chris? I mean, have we reached the point where a year later you can't give me a simple answer to that question?
We talked extensively about this at the time.
It's sad.
And I also brought up about.
So wait a minute. I feel that you probably do believe the sleeping ban should be repealed. I mean, but you're not saying so. So every time you evade the question, you let people believe that you don't believe that. Now, can't we get you to say that people should be allowed to sleep at night without being arrested somewhere?
I guess I think the question, I've said this before on various occasions. Sure, I agree with you, but
right.
I'm trying
okay,
to figure
well,
out
that's nice.
What
that's
you want to hear, because I feel like you've asked me this question so many times, and we've talked about it.
I want to hear a member of the city council standing up for basic human rights for homeless people in a public forum, like the radio station that we're on now. I'd like to see it at city council. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear it repeatedly until the council moves in that direction. And I think that when you made that very, very courageous stand, that's why you're here on the radio station today, Chris, around
what
shoulder
was
tap.
That?
Shoulder tap.
Oh,
you stood against.
Sort of my prize.
You have
doing
stood
that.
Against. You stood against the majority of the council. You were the only member of the council that voted in favor of what most of us feel is the appropriate position, not criminalizing young people, just like we don't want to criminalize homeless people. That's the reason that a lot of us voted for you and your fellow candidates. That's the hope we had, the Catherine Byers that was sadly disappointed for throughout the last year. We have an incoming caller. Let's see what the caller says. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, yeah, I'm in your listening audience, and I had, a couple things to get out there on the air. First of all, in regards to just the nature of this entire conversation, it's sort of reminiscent of some of Michael Rockin's past appearances on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Is Mike in the studio, or is it just Chris?
No, that really is Chris. Mike is due in about 15 minutes, but...
Okay, well,
some claim that council, you tend to go through that devolutionary process. We hope that's not true.
Well, let me just address Chris first. You are being very, very evasive, and I guess I do appreciate your, for lack of a better word, courage to come out on the air and, open yourself up to the poignant questions of Mr. Bathrobe's peers.
Mr. what?
Bathrobe's peers. The man seated next to you.
I don't have my bathrobe with me at this time, I've got to point out.
But, I just think it reflects really poorly when people are asked direct, yes or no questions, and they want to start, looking at transcripts and this, that, or the other. But I don't want to dwell on that. I just want to kind of give my initial impression of you know, what I see as, you know, your, for, again, for lack of a better word, your tactics this evening, which is just very evasive. And then back to the issue of the sleeping ban, my opinion is that, you know, institutionally, whatever you want to call it, as a city government, you know, you can either, A, make things easier for people who are in dire straits to improve their lives, or B, you can make things more difficult. And the city council, the city of Santa Cruz, the Santa Cruz Police Department have all opted for option B. They are going to make things more difficult for people who already have a lot of things that are very difficult in their lives to deal with. And it's essentially opened the door for violence, for lots of things that people are not able to get recourse from. And in a sense, the people who are perpetrating the violence, I think, psychologically have a green light from the institutional structure of the city, because this is a very marginalized, you know, oppressed, you know, population. It's the whole question of, like, well, you know, in its benign majesty, the law, you know, forbids the rich man and the poor man alike from stealing bread.
And sleeping,
you know,
on bridges.
And it's like, geez, here's the sleeping ban. I'll get off the air
give me a question if you have a question for Mr.
Okay, my question is this. In your mind, what are the pick 'em two, and if you want to expand to three, what are the two or three most crucial issues facing the city of Santa Cruz as we enter the new year? And the basis for that question is I read a quote from Keith Trigger in regards to the borders debate, that the soul of Santa Cruz was at stake, and that struck a chord in me as just being totally inflating the issue. And in my opinion, the soul of Santa Cruz is at stake on a large number of other issues. And I'm curious, you know, what you, Chris, think are maybe the two or three biggest that you'd like to see change in
action.
Thank you.
So the question is, what are the three biggest issues, Chris, if you can summarize them for us? And I know this is off the cuff. Go ahead.
And I hope people in the audience, and I'm not trying to defend myself, or I am, against Robert, who's pinning me against the wall here. No, Robert, stop. I just got off the plane, you know, not more, within the past hour and a half, and so, and I appreciate, and I came here to talk about shoulder tap, and I didn't realize he was going to, but this is fine, and I appreciate, just as the caller said, that I came on the show.
Just some sparring to warm you up, Chris.
I also appreciate the questions. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. Well, there seems to be agendas and hidden agendas. But where I'm coming from is, I think as a city council member for 1 year now, and I believe me, I didn't think I was going to do this before I did it either. It wasn't something I really wanted to do. In fact, I much prefer other people. In fact, people who know me know I went out and tried to get other people to run for this job. Politics has a lot to do with what I'm seeing on the council with personality. And I'm trying to address the caller's question here. I'm a teacher, you know, by training. You know, I've worked with high school students, I've worked with college students. It's probably one reason that I came out pretty strongly with the shoulder tap issue.
Give us three issues.
For positive,
quickly, Chris.
For good and bad reasons, I think when you're dealing with the sleeping ban issue, you know, you don't. I'm trying to be as honest with the caller as possible. How many people on the council have been homeless? You know. Being that politics is a lot about, is very personal
talking,
for people.
He's talking about your
and
issues,
I see a lot of
not
people,
the other council members.
I see
your
a lot
issues.
Of people also pursuing it. Well, one of the reasons I pursued shoulder tap is because I know something, and I'm not an expert, but I know something about the issues of young people, and I didn't think that was the place to begin.
Give us three issues quickly if you can.
Well,
and if you don't have them ready, you can say you're not sure. That's also
no. I'd say certainly the issue of homeless people has to be one of those three issues. I mean, that has to be right up there. And so I want to, you know, point
homeless
that out
people
to
is
the
one.
To the caller. I also think the downtown plaza is a very big issue.
Downtown plaza.
And I'll just say quickly that it has to do a lot to do with social space and about, you know, a space for people who don't necessarily only want to go downtown and shop. But also, it incorporates into the downtown. If you want to shop, you also have a place to rest. You also have a place for people to gather, for music to be played, that kind of thing. So that's going to be a big thing on my agenda this year.
Talking about the
another thing that I'm pursuing is an entertainment, some changing the entertainment ordinance. Currently, people pay between $800 and $1,200. if they want to have an entertainment permit in their cafe. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get that changed so that any club under 99 and doesn't charge admission, or under 100
so
people doesn't charge
like
admission.
We got three issues here.
They then don't have to pay that inordinate fee because they only have music once in a while.
Okay, let me.
I did want to go back to what the other issue that you raised concerning Councilmember Sugar, because I think when he talked about the soul of Santa Cruz in the over the issue of whether a chain bookstore should move here or not, I think he very much spoke about social and economic issues. It wasn't just the economics of that issue, and that he was worried the soul of Santa Cruz is totally economic.
Let me interrupt you,
no,
Chris.
It had a lot to do
going to
with social
minute,
issues
Hang on.
As well.
The reason I'm interrupting is I want to ask you about borders. There was some suggestion by those who still favor stopping borders that a second appeal by Coonerty around issues of parking and other things might successfully keep out borders. Any indication that that's happening as far as you know?
I haven't heard anything about it, and that's as of Tuesday.
Gotcha. We have an incoming call.
Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. Yourself?
Good. Good. Thanks for having this program. It's really excellent.
Sure.
I actually wanted to address those top three priorities that Chris just mentioned. Mm-hmm. By the way, Chris, I voted for you. But I kind of, one of my major concerns is that I have a BA from UC Santa Cruz. I've been living in this community for 7 years, and I make $8 an hour, and I can't afford to live here. I wonder if you can speak to rent control
rent
issues
control
in Santa Cruz.
Rent control has not been spoken to yet by Chris, as far as I know, yeah. That's true, even though there was an initiative on the ballot or that people tried to get on the ballot, and people diligently tried to get Chris's support on that issue without success so far.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm surprised that he hasn't taken a stronger stand on that, given his politics.
Right.
Or his politics that he says he has. But that was my question, that's it.
Okay.
Thanks.
Rent control, Chris, what do you think? Are you going to now hopefully introduce rent control at City Council so we can actually give tenants some relief?
Definitely think tenants should get some relief. I'm not ready to introduce rent control, as you just said, Robert. I do think that the situation with renting is totally out of hand in Santa Cruz, right. And very difficult for people to find places.
You're on the air?
We do get calls
the air,
all the time at City Council, and I think this past effort, you know, didn't go the full distance, and I'm really sorry for that. And I've been around since the rent control issues in the late 70s, and I guess the last one was 82 or 83. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Right. This is a history that Rotkin will go through when he gets here, and I would hate to hear the Rotkin position coming out of the Crone perspective. Rotkin has said for years he won't introduce it because he doesn't feel the community will support it. There are a number of things I want to quickly.
Well, there's something to that, Robert, because I think that
there's something to council member standing up and acting as a lightning rod and supporting positions that need to be supported.
You're saying that council members just do this. I actually gave the council a really hard time by introducing shoulder tap ordinance because I thought, wow, they're about to pass a law that's going to affect people that's
the reason we're in the studio tonight.
So
there's a lot of respect for your position.
At some point, you know, Mike and I disagree on a lot of things, but at some point I agree with Mike. And the community has to lead on the issue.
Well,
now, the council doesn't necessarily, and we've talked about this, the council is a reactive type of body.
I think we disagree on this issue. I think you have to lead if we are to believe you're a leader of any sort. And little cliches like when the people lead, the leaders will follow. I am really tired of hearing from you. But let me say this. Just a general picture. A year ago, you won a city council seat. I got a caller waiting on the line. I ask his indulgence briefly because I want to get this out before Mike gets here. The buyer's majority acted to save the Tidelands in the one issue that I think we saw where they stood up and opposed the city attorney. In every other single issue for the last year, there has been no significant opposition to the city attorney's positions, whether it be the confidentiality of the CPRB report, which he has suddenly stamped classified at birth, or other issues. You got a biologist for the Parks District. The council got a biologist for the Parks District, a dietitian for the Homeless Services Center, and a redwood tree on Mission Street. Thank you very much. But my question to you is, what has this council done in the last year? I mean, I don't want to attack you per se. You're probably one of the best people on the council. The point is, you either have to separate yourself from the council and say, it's not doing what it should be doing, and I think it should do this, and I'm going to support this, or else you will be attacked with the council. I have a caller on the line. I mean, you can respond to that.
Robert, that's a question I'd like
it
to
is
respond,
a question.
But if you don't want to respond, I won't.
Yeah, please, respond briefly, and then I got the caller.
Right,
and then we have
Mike,
a strange
Mike
new figure has just arrived in the studio.
Hey, Mike.
He didn't bring his motorcycle with him. Go ahead, please.
Not in the studio, though.
Not in the studio.
I think the right out of the chute, the new council passed, you know, to turn to reinvestigate the tidelands issue, the river mouth parcels at the mouth of the
San Luis
River.
That was the only issue. The only issue.
This council, Robert, and the last council, to their credit, worked a lot on a skateboard park. We passed the skateboard park. It's coming. You just mentioned two or three positions. We also are going to hire, and I think Mike and I disagreed on this, was a grants writer position, somebody that's going to look for more money for the city on a lot of the different issues that we're concerned about. We got a staff ecologist. You know, we're in the hiring stages right now for that. We went through a lengthy budget process. Of course, probably a lot of new council members do it, but we to get up to speed, we worked with the finance director and other members of the community to try to really understand our city budget.
Right. Well, I mean,
and we asked a lot of questions in the budget sessions, which I attended.
But there was no attempt to replace the city attorney, the city manager, or any of the significant city staff, which was, of course, a major focus of concern in the last election, a major concern that the council was itself being, to some extent, its position was being funneled and channeled and determined to some extent by how the staff presented and viewed things, and there was a conservative pro-development position.
Well, might want to speak to this too, but let's edge back to your question. I think that you're talking about major decisions that take place in a city that you need.
Introduce our next guest, by the way.
There needs to be a whole lot of.
You got a mic? Introduce this man
on board. That's what you're not doing, I think, in a lot of the issues you're working on. You know, you build a constituency.
Okay, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Dan.
Yes, Dan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. We're about to start the shoulder tap debate, so you can make a very brief statement, and away we go.
Okay. Well, of course, I'm against the shoulder tap thing, you know,
because
of harassment to young people, you know, that are gathered in two or three and considered, you know, either gangs or you know, thinking that just because they're standing around a liquor store or something that they're going to be asking for liquor and then asking them to leave, give them a ticket or whatever, you know. And on what you were talking about just a second ago was, you know, the borders debate and the homeless and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I found it really interesting that the very same people that caused all these big buildings to go into the mall here downtown are the very same people who are talking against borders, yet why did they build all these big buildings, you know, and not expect big business?
We're
going to
leave
in
it at that, Dan, because we got to get to the shoulder tap debate, but thank you for calling in.
All right, okay, bye.
It's a very good question, Dan.
Thank you, Chris. Now, Chris,
but I have answers for you too. I'd like to see the Cooper House. Incidentally, is a very big building, which I agree with the sentiment that the buildings are too big. But there's four, as far as I know right now, four retail businesses planning on going in the ground floor of the Cooper House, and they're, as far as I know too, they're local businesses. I think the same could have been replicated for the 1200 Pacific Avenue, the Red Tree property as well.
Thank you, Chris.
I know that you and I disagree on borders, Dan.
In the studio with us now, and Chris, you can do the honors, is Councilmember Mike Rotkin. I'll let him share that mic with you.
Hi, thanks for inviting me on the show.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Thanks for coming. As you can see, we have a busy phone here. We're gonna do this. Before we begin the debate, we're gonna have a couple of phone calls, and we're gonna give you like about a minute each to answer, so we can keep a series of calls going.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz. You have a minute to pose your question to our folks.
Yeah, I was just wondering about information about the Vets Hall show.
About who?
The hip-hop show at the Vets Hall.
Hip-hop show at the Vets Hall is going to be December 2nd, 6 p.m. to midnight. That is, in fact, tonight.
Yeah.
So, you know, actually, it's going on as we speak. Wander on down there, you know, donate some bucks to a free radio, and go to it, man.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
I guess that wasn't a question.
I haven't asked for that question.
It was a good. It was an excellent promo. You guys are going to have to kind of share the mic, so one talks, the other. Anyway,
Mike, get your foot off my chest.
Yeah, right.
Give me that mic.
Now we're not going to have any shoving in the studio, gentlemen. Actually, they're behaving themselves like gentlemen. We have what I'm going to do here is I'm going to give each candidate, each member of the council.
Never a candidate again.
Never a candidate again. Actually, Mike is after 16 years of service. 17. That's correct. 1979. 17 years of service on the council. You're going to hang it up for at least a few years, right, Mike?
At least a few years.
Okay. And before that happens, you're going to protect the rights of young people along with Chris in an amazing transformation where you will support a civil rights friendly alternative to shoulder tap. I know that. Well, that's going to come out of this discussion tonight. Anyway, how should we begin? Who wants to make an opening statement on the issue of shoulder tap? Let me first of all read the shoulder tap law. Do we have a copy of that law with us? I think it's right here. I'm going to read the shoulder tap law for those who haven't got it handy. This is the shoulder tap law, an ordinance of the City of Santa Cruz adding section 9.12.040 to the Santa Cruz Municipal Code pertaining to minors' solicitation of alcoholic beverage purchases. Section 1, section such and such is hereby added to the Santa Cruz Municipal Code to be read as follows. Minor solicitation of alcoholic beverage purchases. A. It is unlawful for any minor, i.e. any person under 21, whether on public or private property, to solicit another person to purchase or to furnish an alcoholic beverage for the minor from an off-sale alcohol retailer. B. This section shall not apply to a minor solicitation of another person for the purchase of an alcoholic beverage from an on-sale retailer, and mainly because there are already more severe penalties for that, I would imagine. And this section shall not apply to a minor's actual or attempted direct purchase of an alcoholic beverage from an alcohol retailer, again, because there are more severe existing penalties for that. These are, of course, provisions that, in essence, say, and I'd like either of the folks in the studio to contradict me if I'm wrong, if you ask another person to get you a beer, and you are under 21, that becomes a crime. Is that accurate? At least an infraction crime.
If you ask another person in a public setting, which is what the law is about, in front of a 7-Eleven or a liquor store or something like that, if you ask your mom for
whether on public or private property, it says, to solicit another person, to solicit, I would say that wouldn't necessarily exclude asking your mom. I mean, you scoff, but legally speaking, I don't see an exception here. Do you?
Well, I think there is an exception.
It's not certainly in the wording of the law. Chris, what do you think? Well, let's begin this. Let's begin by talking about the shoulder tap law. You're standing alone.
It'd be easier for me to...
Okay, go ahead.
Maybe it'd be fairer and easier for... I mean, I'm open to having to go in either order, but for me to go first, since I'm an opponent of the thing, explain what it is, why it's happening, and then Christopher, who doesn't like it, I gather, could, you know, attack it and explain why.
Well,
that's
true, but I want to give Christopher the opportunity to make choices on this because it's a reasonable idea, Mike, but so often, and it's a good idea, but here you are standing, alone against a tide of the council, which says, you know, here's a simple ordinance that protects young people. It says that young people, alcohol is a deadly drug. It's the second largest killer in the country next to cigarettes. And maybe obesity is in there in between, but you don't find that many fat young people as far as I know. So the question I have for you is, what's the problem here? This is a law that simply gives the police another tool to deal with a very serious thing that is abused by a significant minority of young people.
Just to let you know, Robert, I do have to go at 7, and I spoke to you, so whatever happens around 7 o'clock, I'm not ducking out of...
Go ahead.
Before that. I come at this, and I explained a little bit before about where I was coming from. As a teacher, and I feel like I'm somewhat plugged into the young person community, although never enough, and I think that's where our society is actually breaking down. Where we don't have the cross-generational, cross-talk communication that we really need. I think, you know, as a council member, I would definitely have been, it came at us with very little information. I think since that time, we've gotten a lot more information out, and we've had a fuller discussion. But I was a little bit shocked, shell-shocked, at the moment you receive your packet on Friday, at 5 o'clock or whenever they get to your house, and you have a council meeting on Tuesday, there's not many hours in between. All of a sudden, I saw this on the agenda, and I'm thinking, well, we're going to pass a law that we know very little. All we got was what you just read, and a couple paragraphs from our city attorney on this issue. And I was miffed, and I guess other council members felt the same way. Three other council members felt the same way. We voted to put it off to have that fuller discussion. I also might be able to want to entertain
stop you on
the
that,
shoulder
let me stop you on that
law.
Point, because I think that's important. Have you received any new information? Because Keith Sugar, our new mayor, asked that Steve Belcher, the chief of police, forward specific description of how this ordinance will operate. In other words, there's concern that it will criminalize young people, because it'll be an adversarial position, or else there'll be no opportunity for a young person to prove she or he is innocent. Now, have you had more information from Chief Belcher of either of you?
Where we're at right now. I just wanted to say before that, because that's my second point.
I'm sorry.
Or actually my third point,
mm-hmm.
but my second point is that I don't think we're doing enough right now for young people as a council. And I would be much more willing to entertain a law like this at some point in the future when I felt like we were really addressing issues such as youth centers, and I do say centers because we've had some input from young people that maybe one center will not suffice it or will not be sufficient, and also a youth commission. We did just pass, and I compliment Mike Rackin over here on the skate park issue and the work that he's done on that, and as well as we hopefully are going to have some more ball fields soon with the depot site, and I know Mike's done some work, a bunch of work on that. So, I mean, there are some things that we're moving and doing for young people. I don't think we're doing enough. To answer the question that you're asking about, Robert, is show me the statistics. We haven't had those statistics. We don't know how many young people are picked up around liquor stores. At least I haven't seen those statistics they've been asked for. We don't know how many young people are actually picked up, or people, minors, people under 21 drinking. I haven't seen those either. I haven't been...
Have you seen any statistics on how the ordinance... Have you seen stats on how the ordinance will operate?
Talk about why this is a major problem in the city of Santa Cruz.
Right. Have you seen any stats on how the ordinance will actually operate? In other words, the actual process by which...
We had one reading of the ordinance. It was voted by the council 6-1.
Mm-hmm.
6 votes in favor of passing it, 1 against. We will have a second reading. At that time, council members can change their vote.
Right, I understand that, but I'm saying...
Council Member Sugar asked the police chief to come back with
some
statistics.
Have you
seen... I haven't seen the statistics yet.
We asked the police department yesterday to forward any information. They haven't done so. We asked the mayor to, Catherine Byers, as of yesterday, had received no information from the police department, and Keith Sugar was requested to let us know if he'd received any. He hasn't called in. Mike, have you heard anything new from the police department on how this, or perhaps you can tell us how the ordinance will operate, since you're going to be voting on it, and in fact, you already have voted on it on one reading.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that's exactly where I'd like to start, but I'll be happy to...
Remember, you will have a half an hour later after this, or at least part of a half an hour.
Well, let me take... Not more than 5 minutes, and tell me when my time's up.
Take reasonable. Take about 3 minutes if you can.
3 minutes is fine. Basically, this ordinance came to us. I was in the same position as Christopher and others. I wasn't one of the people that brought it to the city council, so I got it on the same Friday as everybody else.
Chief Belcher, right?
And for me, it was not a difficult question about supporting it. We have a huge amount of evidence that shoulder tapping is the major way that young people get access to alcohol. That's been revealed in a number of studies done by the United Way and other groups, that self-reporting by teenagers, where do you get alcohol? By shoulder tapping people at these kinds of stores.
By asking somebody. Yeah.
Asking someone to get it for them, and usually paying someone. In other words, you find somebody often, I mean, just by, this is anecdotal, but from my own observations and stuff, you get somebody who's got a problem, an adult who has a problem with alcohol, you offer them $10 and they get to keep 5 and they bring you back alcohol.
Which is currently a crime.
For them, for the adult that does it, yes.
No, it's a crime to purchase through a second, third person, and that is currently a crime.
Well, I mean that's exactly what's going on in terms of this situation most commonly, and from my perspective, there was, again, to take 30 seconds of my 3 minutes, there was a time when families were intact in the United States, when there was no reason for government regulation dealing with young people because there were extended families, people look after their kids. You didn't need the government or the state or the city or anybody else to step in and tell people, you know, here's some protective legislation, here's things to look out for. We didn't even have to have child labor laws because kids lived on farms and their labor was regulated by their parents. That, we're a long ways away from that. We're in a situation now where the family in the United States has, you know, fallen apart almost completely for many, many children, young people, not just children, but young people. And for their parents as well. And it's often the case that nobody's minding the store. Parents don't know what their kids are doing in the evening. People don't have control over what goes on. And we end up in a situation where the government, that's to say the city in this case, finds itself providing kids with recreation, which they never used to have to do, where we end up providing kids with education, which used to happen to the family and hasn't happened for 200 years. Give me my 3 minutes, Robert.
I am. You got 1 minute.
Yeah, thank you. And then, so there's a whole series of laws that we've passed about alcohol. We decided that it's, you know, not in the interest of young people to have legal access to it. We passed these laws. They include things like you can't go into a bar and solicit a drink. You can't buy it yourself if you're a young person. One of the loopholes in the existing set of laws is that there's nothing that makes it illegal for a young person to go up and ask somebody else to buy alcohol for them.
But
it's illegal for the person that buys it, but not for the young person. It's a small loophole. To me, it's not a really big deal. I probably will end up, I mean, I agree with, and it'll become clear that Christopher and I agree completely, that we shouldn't be passing laws like this in the absence of doing positive things for young people. It's not a matter of just passing sanctions against them. We need to have more social services. We need to have youth clubs. We need to more kinds of things going on for people. And this is, to me, a small ordinance. It makes sense. I don't know why we would not want to sort of sanction people doing this. And I'll be happy to answer the other question you asked, but I'll give you a chance to comment about this issue of how will the law actually
Time's
work.
Up. And these are points that you have made at council meetings, as Chris has made his points. But of course, the key question here, and the constant refrain that this is some kind of a loophole, ignores the fact that it's a criminal behavior for a young person to get an adult to purchase alcohol for him. That is, you're soliciting somebody else to assist you in a crime. It's illegal to possess it yourself. It's illegal to buy it yourself. It's illegal for you to be the activating person that goes and gets somebody else to do it. I assume you know that.
Robert, if that were the case, this would be a redundant law and not worth your time. There's bigger things to do in life. So why are you so concerned about it? Let me ask you.
Why am I so concerned about it?
Yeah.
Now, so you're claiming that that's not the case? It's not illegal for a minor to get somebody else to get him to purchase alcohol once the alcohol reaches him?
That is illegal. It's illegal to possess the alcohol. It's not illegal to ask someone to go get it for you.
No, it's not illegal to make the request. But once you get the request fulfilled, that is a crime itself, independent of the possession.
Yes, that's true.
So what I'm saying is...
The loophole is that it's not illegal to ask the person to go get the alcohol for you. It's a small loophole. It's a trivial loophole from my point of view. There are a whole lot of issues like Proposition 21 that's coming up on the ballot that have to do with threatening to punish young people as adults.
Right.
And issues that deserve our attention, that are terribly repressive of young people, and we should be addressing our attention to those.
Let's give Chris a minute about
this. Trivial things like this small loophole we're closing with this law. That's my view.
Okay, Chris...
I just want to reiterate that Proposition 21 that Mike just talked about, because people should go out and know about that.
Right, it's an important issue. But since you're all going to agree on it, yes. I don't think we need to talk about it at great length here.
I want to mention it to your listeners.
Right, and I think that's important. That'll be on another show. But what I'm saying here is this is an issue that I think is significant because it's being misrepresented.
What I wanted to talk about with Mike is what precludes, having a law in place stops adults from being able to talk to young people. I mean, because if...